thought an interesting comment was made. Somebody said to me, I heard somebody say, now where's Mandela? Well, Mandela's dead because Saddam Hussein killed all the Mandelas.
What? Oh my God. King George held court in the White House press room today. Let's see what viable information was revealed by this half-wit. Iraq has a government. Democrats don't want poor children to have health care. The FBI is taking care of the racial situation in Jena, Louisiana. He's not an economist. He knows nothing about the Blackwater killings in Iraq, and Saddam Hussein killed Nelson Mandela and his family. Probably killed Tupac Shakur, too. Huh? Oh, and he reminded us that he was a C student, and Condi, who has a PhD, works for him. Let's hear it for underachieving, race-pandering, would-be dictators, hip-hip thud. Good evening, truth seekers. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Unbelievable stuff today. We're going to get to it. We're going to get to the MoveOn .org ad that just made Bush crap in his pants, apparently. It was just, I don't know, I've never seen anything like this. And we're also going to tell you the names of the 21, or was it 22, Democratic senators who voted to condemn MoveOn. Can you believe it? But before we get there, this is incredible. Boeing, the Boeing company, one of the major weapons manufacturers, airline manufacturers on Earth, trades with the Chinese on their own, builds jetliners, builds weapons of mass destruction. Also, they got a contract to build the high-tech virtual fence on our border with Mexico, right? They've been testing it for a couple of months now. It's inoperable. 3 months after its scheduled debut. Now, here we go. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff said he is withholding further payment to the prime contractor, Boeing Company, until the success of the pilot project, stretching 28 miles near the border southwest of Tucson. Apparently, 9 of these 100-foot towers that are just dripping with radar and sensors and sophisticated cameras, and built in an area heavily trafficked by so-called illegal immigrants and drug smugglers. The towers, each one's a few miles apart, are intended to detect or stop border crossers and potential terrorists. Yeah, terrorists. And enhance the ability of the Border Patrol to catch everybody. More testing is expected in a couple of weeks, Chertoff told the House Committee on Homeland Security. Of Chertoff's remarks, a Boeing spokeswoman, Deborah Bosick, said only,
we're working with our customers to solve some remaining technical issues. Thank you.
We're working with our customer? Uh-huh, okay. Now, this is this virtual fence is the first stage of a plan to smother the Mexican and Canadian borders with 1,800 such towers, all aimed at enabling the U.S. Border Patrol to pinpoint crossings and improve their ability to intercept crossers. About 3/4 of the $20 million cost for this project has been paid. Well, $20 million to Boeing, or 3/4 of $20 million, which would be about $14 million, is lunch money for their executive suite. Why should they provide something that works for $20 million? Virtually inoperable. I wonder if that's going to cause bowel spasms among the militia types who are just itching to go down there and kill them some Mexicans, huh? What do you think? Now, the vote today to condemn MoveOn, isn't this thing insane? Hasn't this gotten insane? The ad that was run in the New York Times, General Petraeus, or will he betray us? in the first place, as everybody with a sense God gave a bag of dog snot knows, it was Bush who did the unpardonable, interjected a commanding officer into the political discussion when Petraeus was instructed to write an op-ed piece for the Washington Post saying that the surge was a good idea based on yada yada. He is a lying son of a bitch. He does not deserve, just like Oliver North was a liar, this guy should have all four of his stars ripped off one at a time. He is a sneak, a cheat, and George Bush's current military butt boy. The ones who refused to accept that role were either cashiered, forced to take early retirement, or so humiliated they said, screw you, and resigned. And this twit says MoveOn.org has overstepped the line? Well, the Senate Democrats, bless their little pea-picking hearts, charged ahead today with new legislation ordering troops home from Iraq, still lacking the votes to win, but armed with the mantra that Republicans now own the war. It's their war. Majority Leader Harry Reid told reporters, they want this war more than they want to protect our soldiers. When I say they want the war, they want to protect their president more than they want to protect our troops. Really? Well, I mean, that's true, Harry. It really is true, but don't you understand that your job is to rally the troops once Pelosi rallies the troops on her side to impeach this bastard? Your duty is not to make obvious statements like that, but is to rally the Senate to throw his ass out of office. Reid spoke minutes after Republicans successfully pushed through. It always happens, right? They're the alleged minority party. They're not, because Lieberman makes it 50-50, and then the cyborg man makes it 51-50. Republicans are not the minority party. But they did successfully push through a resolution condemning the advertisement, and by extension, Move On itself, by a vote of 72-25. 72-25, a vote of condemnation. At the news conference today, we'll have Bush telling you that a Move On ad was disgusting. And he came to the conclusion that most Democrats are afraid of irritating a left-wing group. A left-wing group like Move On? He says, or more afraid of irritating them than they are of irritating the United States military. You son of a bitch. Eli Pariser, who's the director of the group, responded, what's disgusting is that the president has more interest in political attacks than developing an exit strategy to get our troops out of Iraq and end this awful war. And then good old John Cornyn, the neo-Nazi from Texas, senator from Texas, introduced this resolution to condemn Move On. And sure as hell, just like the good little half-wits that they are, 21 Democrats went over, cut the throats of everybody in this country who is a Democrat, a liberal, a progressive, or wants this war ended, or believes in free speech, or would like to see a Petraeus sent back to being a major in some engineering corps building the levees down in New Orleans. But I digress. Baucus of Montana, Bai of Indiana, Cardin of Maryland, Carper of Delaware, Casey of Pennsylvania, Conrad of North Dakota, Dorgan of North Dakota, Feinstein of California, Johnson of South Dakota. Well, that's a clean sweep, isn't it? No, I guess not. Cole of Wisconsin, Landrieu of Louisiana, Leahy of Vermont, Lincoln of Arkansas, McCaskill of Missouri, Mikulski of Maryland, Nelson of Florida, Nelson of Nebraska. These are your Democrats who said, nah, screw move on. Pryor of Arkansas, Salazar of Colorado, Tester of Montana, Webb of Virginia. Oh my God, the one that had his ass handed to him the day before. Now votes against move on. That'll show him. Not voting? Biden, Cantwell, Obama. These are Democrats who are aligning themselves with the same rat bastard and his minions who went after John Kerry, who went after the former senator from Georgia, Max Cleland, who went after John McCain in South Carolina, Bush, who hates the military and hates soldiers and Marines because he, Bush, is a freaking coward. These are the Democrats who aligned themselves with Bush.
I don't hear liberals talking to me. I don't see things their way. Yeah, I'm on the right side. I'm on the right side. The only side.
Members of Congress are putting health coverage for poor children at risk so they can score political points in Washington. Health coverage for these children should not be held hostage while political ads are being made and new polls are being taken.
Oh my God, yeah, the Democrats are holding our little children hostage because they want to expand the coverage. This man is a psychopath. Jody in Arlington Heights writes, Mike, once again, the madness of King George is on display and no one calls him on it. Even if his ludicrous statement about Mandela being dead and all the Mandelas are dead because Saddam Hussein killed them is his sorry attempt at metaphor. Of course, the truth he tried to convey in it is a pile of crap. First of all, if all the capable leaders of Iraq were wiped out by Hussein, what exactly was the Iraqi National Congress composed of? Weren't they the promised leaders who were going to take over after Hussein was gone? Second, or could it be that the violence that we have unleashed by our actions has either caused those who might have taken leadership roles to be killed or to flee the country in the 2 million plus, in that 2 million plus refugee crisis? And third, what point is there in taking on leadership if the country is still a Paul Bremer created fiefdom? Our telling Iraq that they have no power to expel Blackwater is clear evidence of that. Yep, Bush stands up and lets his madness show, Jody writes. But our empty-headed senators do nothing in response. Of course, they do have time to pass a condemnation of MoveOn.org. Yeah, that's far more important than stopping the madman and his henchmen who have taken us down. God, I can't stand these people, Jody writes. Today is definitely an Eeyore day. Jody in Arlington Heights. Yeah, it's an Eeyore day, all right. Unbelievable stuff. So, Bush in his toy press conference today, and I like the last reporter who was obviously a setup so he could move on and then leave. But he said, I feel like the ad was an attack, not only on General Petraeus, but on U.S. military. And you all know how I love the military. And I was disappointed that not more leaders in the Democratic Party spoke out strongly against that kind of ad. Most Democrats are afraid of irritating a left-wing group like Move On. And they're more afraid of irritating them than they are of irritating the United States military. Jesus, God. The part that, of course, never gets included in the discussion falls along these lines. The World Tribunal on Iraq, that's a grouping of non-government organizations, intellectuals, and writers opposed to war in Iraq. Was it last Friday? Accused the United States of causing more deaths in Iraq now than Saddam Hussein. That's right. We have caused more death in Iraq than Saddam. Larry Everest, a journalist, told hundreds of anti-war activists gathered in Istanbul, quote, with two wars in 13 years, the criminal sanctions, the United States has been responsible for more deaths in Iraq than Saddam Hussein. This organization, the WTI, World Tribunal on Iraq, was founded about 4 years ago. It's modeled on the Russell Tribunal of the 60s. That was created by the British philosopher Bertrand Russell to denounce the war in Vietnam. The WTI, World Tribunal on Iraq, has held about 20 sessions so far in different locations around the world. A symbolic verdict will be handed down Monday by the 14 jurors of conscience, which include Indian novelist Arundhati Roy, winner of the 1997 Booker Prize in the UK for The God of Small Things. The tribunal has for the past 2 years been gathering what it says is evidence that the war launched in March 2003 to oust Saddam was illegal, and it has been gathering evidence of the crimes allegedly committed by coalition troops. Its verdict on Monday is expected to condemn both the U.S. and Britain. Arundhati Roy told the gathering here, quote, the evidence collated in this tribunal should be used by the International Criminal Court, whose jurisdiction the U.S. does not recognize, to try as war criminals George Bush, Tony Blair, John Howard, Silvio Berlusconi, and all those government officials, army generals, and corporate CEOs who participated in this war and now benefit from it. Incredible. We'll be back after the break with more on Sounds for you. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy. Blow something up. That's what the bombs were invented for. So you could blow stuff up. Come on, let's roll. Let's blow something up. Blow something up. Blow something up. That's what bombs were invented for. So you could blow stuff up. Come on, let's roll. Let's blow something up. When all else fails, let's blow something up.
You're listening to Mike Molloy on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
25 before the hour. As far as the 21 or 22 Democrat traitors, cowards who voted with these Republican scum to condemn the ad put in the New York Times by MoveOn.org just prior to Petraeus's lies and deceits and phony-ass testimony, something... you know, the entire United upper command of the United States military has been politicized by Cheney and Bush, all of it. The good guys have gotten the hell out. The ones that remain there are figuring, well, what the hell, you know, it can't go on too much longer. I'll go ahead and continue to put up with this stuff. I want the extra star. I want the I like playing a military commander, and, you know, I don't want to leave. It's an outrage that Democrats voted, excuse me, to sustain these Republican vermin. But it happens all the time. It happens all the time. And I gave you the names. One of them, this is from Ron in Briarwood, says Senator Tester faced a very tough race for his Senate seat in Montana. MoveOn was in that fight tooth and nail, and in contributions gave about $300,000 to Tester's race. What was Tester's thank you? Voting today to tell MoveOn to shut up. MoveOn's not going to shut up, but will Tester return the $300,000? And then Ray in Turner, Oregon writes, Mike, I wish you would read the names on the air of those traitor Democrats every day until the next election. They are the reason why this country is in the mess it is. But I guess on the flip side, it might open the door to their defeat by more scummy Republicans. Some choice, so sick of it all. Ray and Turner, Oregon. Yeah, I hear you. All right, we're about to give you some moron sounds. For those of you who can't take it, if you want to take about a 15-minute break here. In that press conference today, Bush engaged in a little bit of grade inflation about his academic record, trying to be hip and a witty, wise leader, of which he's none of that. When asked about the some of the economic problems that are going on right now, he said, "You need to talk to economists." That was when he was asked if there was a risk of recession in the U.S. economy. He said, "I think I got a B in Econ 101. I got an A, however, in keeping taxes low and being fiscally responsible with the people's money." Can you believe he said that? Now, as an undergraduate at Yale, and the only reason he got in was white people's affirmative action, because his pappy had gone there. Otherwise, Bush, same thing happened to him at the University of Texas. They would have said, "No, sorry, you're not qualified." But white people have this special thing. What's it called, Kathy? Legacy, where if your daddy, your mama, or somebody in your family goes to Yale or Harvard, whatever, then you can get in. You can get in. See, it's called white people's affirmative action. Nobody tries to get Supreme Court to rule on that. It's only if the Negroes try something like that that the white people get all upset. Affirmative action! Bush, as an undergraduate at Yale, did not, in fact, receive a grade of B in his economics class. He got a grade that would correspond with a C-. A copy of Bush's Yale transcript, posted at the website georgewbush.org, shows that the president received grades of 71 and 72 in economics. Hey, chuckle nuts, that's not a B. Even if they grade on the, well, especially if they grade on the curb, that's called a gentleman's C, and you just barely made it because you're a dumbass. Oh, God. He lies about everything. Why would we, Mandela. Do you have that soundbite where he says Mandela's dead? Yeah, okay. All right, here we go. This is Mander Monkey at his press briefing today to chastise the irresponsible congressional Democrats for putting health coverage for poor children at risk so they can score political points in Washington. Wow. Jesus God, have Democrats sunk that low? How are the mean old child-hating Democrats doing that? Why, by overfunding the S-CHIP program, the program for lower middle class and poor children who come from families that are just barely making it. Bush doesn't want extra funding for poor children. Congress does. So in his bizarre backward Bush world, that means Democrats are putting children at risk.
This important program helps children whose families cannot afford private health insurance but do not qualify for Medicaid to get coverage they need.
Oh, okay.
Congress is waiting until the S-CHIP program is just about to expire before getting a final bill passed. In other words, members of Congress are putting health coverage for poor children at risk so they can score political points in Washington.
Oh, you bastard.
Democrats in Congress have decided to pass a bill they know that will be vetoed.
You bastard.
My administration will continue working with Congress to pass a responsible S-CHIP bill. In the meantime, Congress has an obligation to make sure health insurance for poor children does not lapse.
But you're going to veto it.
If they fail to do so, more than 1 million children could lose health coverage. Health coverage for these children should not be held hostage while political ads are being made and new polls are being taken.
Oh, my God, that's what you're doing by refusing to give low- and middle-income families more coverage. Oh, my God. On the other hand, it might mean you couldn't keep killing Iraqis and American soldiers, you know, the money and everything, so poor kids can just go die, right? He says Democrats in Congress have decided to pass a bill they know will be vetoed. Yeah, because it spends $60 billion over 5 years to insure poor kids instead of $30 billion. Oh, those cold-hearted bastard Democrats. Oh, my God. And a few Republicans, too, Georgie. He wants Congress to pass a responsible S-CHIP bill, one that doesn't cut into his trillion-dollar war spending. This man is such a creep, such a thug, such a liar, so useless. Oh, my God. So then Raisenbrain takes questions from the press after his little statement. of which he doesn't understand. I would love to see somebody say, Mr. Bush, tell us what the letters in S-CHIP stand for. So Raisin Brain took some questions from the press, starting with this one about our troubled economy. Reporter said, Mr. President, economists say that the nation is at increasing risk of recession. What do you say?
I'm optimistic about our economy. I would be pessimistic, however, if the Congress has its way and raises taxes.
Who said anything about that?
I believe the worst thing that can happen now is to allow the Congress to do that which they have said they want to do, which is to raise the taxes on people.
Nobody said that!
As I say, I'm optimistic, but I would be pessimistic if I thought Congress was going to get their way, and they're not. They're not going to raise taxes.
Do you think there's a risk of a recession? How do you rate that?
You know, you need to talk to economists. I think I got a B in Econ 101. I got an A, however, in keeping taxes low. And being fiscally responsible with the people's money.
You know, I would flunk you for just for that whopper. You've taken all of the Clinton administration surpluses and turned them into giant deficits. Our trade deficits are through the roof. We owe the Chinese more money than we could ever repay. You never bet a spending bill you didn't sign, unless it's to help poor kids get health care or an education. And your war budget measures in the trillions. Where does the fiscal responsibility kick in, chuckle nuts, huh? Huh? You're optimistic about our economy, that's because you're a moron. He says, I would be pessimistic if the Congress has its way and raises taxes. No, no one wants to raise taxes, you lying bastard. They want to rescind some of the taxes on the tax breaks you granted to the top 0.1% in this country. That, you call that raising taxes? You see what I'm doing here, Mr. Bush? I call that my way of saluting you. The question was about recession. Now, Chicken Hawk Chucklenuck simply would not comment on this question about Israeli airstrikes on Syria earlier this month. Reporter David King says, Israeli opposition leader Netanyahu has now spoken openly, Mr. Bush, about Israel's bombing raid on a target in Syria earlier in the month. I wonder if you could tell us what the target was, whether you supported this bombing raid, and what do you think it does to change the dynamic in an already hot region in terms of Syria and Iran and the dispute with Israel, and whether the U.S. could be drawn into any of this?
I'm not going to comment on the matter. Would you like another question?
Did you support it?
Not going to comment on the matter.
Can you comment about your concerns that come out of it at all, about for the region?
No. Saying I'm not going to comment on the matter means I'm not going to comment on the matter.
Oh, really? Oh, you are such a tough ass! Oh, my God! You make my knees go just weak and rubbery and like spaghetti! Say I'm not going to comment on the matter means I'm not going to comment on the matter. Yeah, because you don't know what the hell the reporter just asked you. You don't have any idea. God.
The world.
Did you know that, Truth Seekers? Yeah, the Israelis have already attacked another country, bombing raid in Syria. I wonder what they were after. Oh, well. Quick break. We'll be back. More from Chuckle Nuts. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
The pie. I know humans and fish can coexist peacefully if we don't cave into desire. You can't take the high horse and then claim the low road. The past is over, I agree. We all know the importance of bondage between mother and child in the home. But it's hard to put food on your family.
I'm not an economist, but if I were, I'd probably say there's a 50% chance it would happen sooner and a 50% chance it wouldn't.
I'm a monkey!
Oh, my God.
I'm a monkey!
So at the Men's Demand press briefing today, reporter David King gets another shot at a question and asks this one about how long we should wait for political progress in Iraq. Sure sounds like Bush is willing to twiddle his thumbs and wait for them to pass laws whenever that might happen and blame Saddam for the sorry state Iraq is in today. And if his illegal war and occupation, as if his illegal war and occupation had nothing to do with this problem, it's amazing. Reporter says, efforts to curtail the deployment of troops is an ongoing debate right now. One of the things you spoke about in your address last week had to do with impatience with the Iraqi government. And you spoke about that, but not in much detail. How is that dynamic changing, your level of frustration with the lack of political progress? And how long can Americans reasonably expect you to wait before you take some kind of action that really forces the Iraqi government's hand to reach the goals of reconciliation that you set for them?
There is a functioning government.
Where?
And the reason I bring, I guess my point is this, that in spite of the fact they haven't passed the law, there is the sharing of oil revenues on a relatively equitable basis.
Oh, my God.
The other, and so we'll continue to work with the government to insist and impress upon them the need for there to be the passage of law. The, you know, part of the reason why there's not this kind of instant democracy in Iraq is because people are still recovering from Saddam Hussein's brutal rule. I thought an interesting comment was made when somebody said to me, I heard somebody say, you know, where's Mandela? Well, Mandela's dead because Saddam Hussein killed all the Mandelas.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Iraq is... The reason why there's not this instant democracy in Iraq is because people are still recovering from Saddam Hussein's brutal rule. Why even go into why Saddam had brutal rule? You know about that, don't you, chuckle nuts? But we all thought your little purple finger trick was supposed to provide instant democracy to Iraq. No, not true, huh? Maybe guarding the antiquities was supposed to. No, not true. Oh, that's right. The U.S. military, when they invaded Iraq and occupied that country, was instructed to let the antiquities that go back 6,000 years, George. That's a long time. Oh, that's some of that history that doesn't matter anymore. Forget the antiquities. Protect the oil ministry. Remember that? You evil, evil bastard. So next, Too Stupid to Chew a Pretzel finally spoke out about the protests in Jena, Louisiana, if only for 15 seconds. Reporter says, Mr. President, thousands of people are marching today in Jena, Louisiana, in a racially charged case involving six black students for beating a white student. Also, not far from the White House recently, there was a noose that was found hanging from a tree at a college campus. Is the state of race relations deteriorating in this country?
The events in Louisiana have saddened me. And I understand the emotions. The Justice Department and the FBI are monitoring the situation down there. And all of us in America want there to be, you know, fairness when it comes to justice.
You know, fairness. Well, let's see. The FBI and the Justice Department, FBI's monitoring. Last time that happened, the FBI monitored Martin Luther King and Malcolm X. Shortly after or during the monitoring, they were both assassinated. Son of a bitch. What are you saying? Is that a warning? Is that to let Sharpton and Jesse and the rest of the black leaders down there to know that, no, it couldn't be. You know, a country starts to take on the attitude of its leader, and George W. Bush, with his murderous disrespect for human life, it's working its way down through the ranks, folks, down to us, huh? Got time for this one? Almost done here. We'll get this one, and we'll get the other one at the other side of the break. As to the Blackwater mercenaries operating in Iraq, reporters said, to what extent, Mr. Bush, has the recent Blackwater incident frayed your relations with Prime Minister Maliki and his government? And why are outfits like Blackwater above the law in Iraq?
First of all, I have yet to speak to the Prime Minister about this subject. I'll see him in New York next week at the UN. I'm confident he'll bring it up.
Yeah.
I also appreciate the fact that he's willing to work with the U.S. government to set up a commission to find out what actually happened.
Oh, please.
The folks like Blackwater, who provide security for the State Department, are under rules of engagement.
No,
they have certain rules.
Oh,
and this commission will determine whether or not they violated those rules. I'm looking forward to finding out what the results are.
About that incident and the fact that...
Well, let's find out what the facts are first. Obviously, to the extent that innocent life was lost, you know, I'm saddened.
Yeah, we can tell. Oh, you're looking forward to getting the results. Let's see. That reminds me of the leak on Valerie Plame's name, doesn't it? I'm looking forward to finding out what the results are, you know. As far as Blackwater, they have certain rules of engagement. For example, Chuckle Nuts, what? Like the TV show Eight Simple Rules for Raping My Teenage Daughter? What are the rules? They can only kill 10 innocent Iraqis a day? They can't torture anybody on Sunday? What rule? He wants to find out exactly what happened. You don't know what happened? You don't know what happened? Blackwater, one of the biggest contributors to everything you have done in the past 6 years in terms of money, and nobody has briefed you, nobody has sat you down. If that's the case, then get the hell out of the Oval Office! You start a war, you occupy a country where there's brutal rape and torture and people being butchered and shot down and piles of detainees stacked nude, and you stand there and say you don't know anything about it? Oh, God. Oh, I wish there were a God sometimes. I really do. I wish there were a God so I could get down on my knees and say, "Dear God, take my soul." Oh, that would be the devil. "And just get rid of this guy. I'll trade you. I'll trade you." That would be the devil, wouldn't it? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program on Nova M Radio. We are neck deep in cow dung because I am playing for you sound bites from today's Bush press conference. We have 2 left. Hang with me. Put your ice pick away. We talked last week. Was it last week or sometime this week about some of his Texas oil buddies, the Hunt Oil Company, cutting a deal with the Kurds to start exploring for oil and building an oil infrastructure for that exploration, and in total disregard for the central government in Iraq that Bush claims he so ardently supports, which is more BS. We all know that. And now at the press conference today, Bush pretends he's never heard of Hunt Oil, one of his biggest backers. Oh, my God. This is why he and Gonzalez got along so well. I don't know. I can't recollect. I don't have any. I don't know. I have no idea. I'll check that. I don't know. Reporter says, "Mr. President, you recently spoke earlier about the importance of oil revenue sharing in Iraq. Oil revenue sharing in Iraq. Recently, a company called Hunt Oil, run by one of your longtime supporters, Ray Hunt, signed a deal with the Kurdish regional government to drill for oil up there. That deal has come under intense criticism from the national government in Baghdad. They say it undermines the discussions about oil legislation. What's your opinion, sir, of that kind of deal and how it impacts this long-stalled legislation?"
I knew nothing about the deal. I need to know exactly how it happened, to the extent that it does undermine the ability for the government to come up with a oil revenue sharing plan that unifies the country, obviously, if it undermines that, I'm concerned.
If it undermines it? I know nothing about the deal. I know nothing about Harkin or Halliburton or Kellogg Brown and Root. I know nothing about Blackwater. I know nothing. I know nothing. Hunt? Who's Hunt? I don't know a Hunt. Are you talking about going on a hunt? Is that the ketchup guy? Hunt. I don't know. I know nothing. I know nothing. Last moron sound of the evening before you hear Truth Seeker about the MoveOn.org ad. And after he answers this, he walks off. You know, the fake reporter who asked another plant, I'm sure. I didn't see the press conference, but I'm just assuming that this was who they have there, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly.
Mr. President, what's your reaction to the MoveOn.org ad that mocked General Petraeus as General Betrayus and said that he cooked the books on Iraq? Eh? And secondly, would you like to see Democrats, including presidential candidates, repudiate that ad?
Now, you notice that's just a straight-ahead question that any reporter would ask, right?
I thought the ad was disgusting. And I felt like the ad was an attack not only on General Petraeus, but on the U.S. military.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was disappointed. That not more leaders in the Democrat Party spoke out strongly against that kind of ad.
Democratic, you ass.
And that leads me to come to this conclusion. That most Democrats are afraid of irritating a left-wing group like MoveOn.org are more afraid of irritating them than they are of irritating the United States military.
Say your answer slowly.
That was a sorry deal.
Yeah.
And one thing to attack me. It's another thing to attack somebody like General Petraeus.
Well, then, you must be really pissed at your CENTCOM commander, Admiral Fallon, who said that Petraeus was an ass-kicking, kissing, chicken-dropping type that he didn't like. I thought the ad was disgusting. I felt like the ad was an attack, not only on General Petraeus, but on the U.S. military. Oh, yeah, because, you know, we want to save lives of the troops, and therefore we're attacking them. That's what Move On does. They're attacking the U.S. military, trying to save their lives. Bush, you keep forgetting your Newspeak translator. That's why he's going so slow. They're trying to feed him one word at a time. Be careful now. Be careful now. This is the setup question. Be careful how you answer it. Look at the reporter. You see the reporter? He's not really a reporter. He's one of our people. Very slowly now. Huh? Jeffrey in Chicago writes, Dear Mike, in reaction to today's farce in the Senate, I joined MoveOn.org and gave them a small contribution. I used to consider myself a moderate, but in today's atmosphere where the soul of America is on the line, patriots cannot be moderate. Jeffrey in Chicago. And Daiwan writes, Mike, I just heard Bill O'Reilly on his show say that he's now selling Don't Tase Me, Bro! Bumper stickers. He's gone to a new low. My grandfather sits in front of the Fox News all day long. I can barely stand to hear it for 10 minutes. How can these bobbleheads stand it all day? My God, I'm to the point where I'm just so infuriated over the state of America due to these Republican scum. This is from Donald in Augusta, Georgia. Micah made calls for Move On for Jim Webb, who, by the way, also voted against, voted in favor of the resolution to condemn Move On. I made calls for Move On for Jim Webb. I also donated money to John Tester and Jim Webb through Move On. I'm constantly sickened by these cowards. But as I always tell my family and friends, when you know what a person's character and principles are, why should you be surprised at what they do? These cowardly Democrats have no character and no principles. They're exactly what the Republicans say they are. cowards. They can somehow find the nerve to take on Move On, but take on this corrupt criminal administration? Well, they just can't do that. After witnessing these cowards give in on the war, then watch them give away our constitutional rights via habeas corpus, and now they stab in the back. Their only liberal activist group that helped put them in power. I'm officially not a Democrat any longer. If liberals and progressives haven't figured it out yet, they are riding a losing horse. I'm so tired of being angry and disappointed at the same time. We now know we officially have no one to speak for us in the government. All Americans should understand the Congress of the U.S. does not represent the people any longer. It's amazing this nation could be held hostage by the nutcase 30% on the Nazi right when it comes to war policy, health care, education, decent gun laws, and so forth. But if one liberal group dare state an opinion the senators disagree with, the Senate simply must suspend its business to declare them unpatriotic. Say goodbye to the First Amendment, along with all the other rights we have lost in America. Welcome to the first 21st century dictatorship, the country formerly known as America, the home of the free and the brave. Yeah. Yeah. And then this regarding the Israeli secret attack into Syria. Prairie 2 writes, Mike, as more and more comes out about the secret attack by Israel into Syria, it is starting to appear as an attempt by the Bush crime family to resurrect the old axis of evil thing. Syria's failure to complain about the destruction is being offered as proof that Syria has something to hide. Syria's apparent befuddlement could be more reasonably interpreted to be just that. If they had something to hide, you might expect them to have a convincing lie to cover it up. Since they expressed bewilderment at Israel's attack against an empty field, that's probably what it was. Israel and the U.S. are now leaking a variety of stories about weapons of mass destruction to see which one gets the best traction in the press. One is that they were building a missile site equipped with weapons of mass. They were building a missile site equipped with weapons of mass destruction with Iranian help, and Iranians were killed by leaking nerve gas. Now they're trying to tie in the North Koreans and nukes. Gas wasn't scary enough. This is probably the justification they intend to use to bomb the crap out of somebody. Yeah. And isn't it amazing and awesome and truly wonderful that 20,000 people show up in this racist little jerkwater Gina, Louisiana, and the media is all over it. A couple of million Latino protesters march around the country. The media is all over it. 100,000 anti-war protesters go to Washington last weekend, and there's not a sound about it.
Marching anymore. Now the labor leader's screaming when they close the missile plants. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore.
And your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
21 past the hour. Last time 20 or 30,000 human rights protesters marched here in the South, I was involved in it. That was the march on Cumming, Georgia. What's the county? Forsyth County, Georgia. Which is a county just north of Metro Atlanta was at the time. Now, I'm talking 20 years ago, now it's been turned into nothing more than a bedroom community for the Atlanta metro area. But back then, it's the county that Junior Samples, the hee-haw guy, was from. It's about as redneck as you could possibly get. And at one time, back in the 50s, there was a huge billboard. Highway 19 was the main drag that went from Cumming, Georgia, down to Atlanta. Now we have Georgia 400 and, you know, just all kinds of toll roads and superhighways. But when I moved to Atlanta 30-some years ago, 32, 33 years ago, there was a billboard up on Highway 19. that was faded and had been an attempt had been made to take it down. But what it said was, Negroes, don't let the sun set. Negroes, don't let the sun set and find you in Forsyth County. Now, it was barely readable, but, you know, when I first saw that, I thought, what the hell? Because this was like in 1970s when I first moved here. So, you know, I saw that, and I asked some friends about, oh, yeah, that's, you know, they're going to take it down. It doesn't mean anything. And there were no white people in the entire county in the mid-80s when or late-80s when this demonstration occurred. And Coretta Scott King and Hosea Williams and a bunch of civil rights leaders led this march. And that was my first encounter with the Southern military. That march, the road to that march, was so militarized with paratroopers and state troopers from all over the South. The United States Army was called out. And then, of course, when we got to the town square in Cumming, Georgia, there stood the Klansmen and the rednecks and the Confederate flags. And it was unbelievable. There was no violence that day because there was such a military presence there. Gina, Louisiana is basically today, it occurred again after all these years. And I think it's a good thing to give this new generation of people who believe in human rights a chance to march, a chance to get out on the street and say, you know, here in things like in Gina, Louisiana, the barber shop there won't cut black people's hair. Because the white folks there don't want Negro hair on the scissors. They're going to cut the delicate, sweet-smelling white hair or something. I mean, you know, anybody that tries to make this into some kind of a trivial affair is a fool, is an absolute fool. Hanging nooses because a bunch of black students decide, oh, well, you know, maybe we can sit under the tree too. You know, hey, how about that? And the beating of the white student, okay. I do condemn beatings. I do condemn violence. I also recognize that were I a black man, well, I wouldn't be on this radio show for one thing. I'd be dead in prison or a mental institution. I've said that a million times. I couldn't have gotten to my age, the age I am now, being a black man in this country. I would be dead. I really would. Either heart attack, a stroke, diabetes. I would have been hanged. I would have been dragged behind a pickup truck, or I'd be in prison. I'd be in prison for life because some smart-ass white man got cocky with me in a bar and I decked him and his head hit a bar stool on the way down. He got a brain concussion. They would try me, you see, for attempted murder. And I would be in prison for the rest of my life. But I digress. The point is this. Media gave that march wall-to-wall coverage, as it should. But you know why media were there? You know why the television cameras were there? Because they were hoping, and I don't even want to hear any protest about this, they were hoping that there would be an eruption. They were hoping that the Klan would come in from some rat-infested hovel where they still exist here in the South. They're all over the place. That some skinheads or white supremacists would come riding in. There'd be a confrontation. That's the only reason media were there. They weren't there because, oh, God, look here, injustice, we got to cover this. No, 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 no. They were hoping for the violence. That's why they gave such coverage to the Hispanic community's march for immigration rights. Because they were waiting for groups of militias or vigilantes to jump into the fray and start busting heads like the cops did. Was it in L.A.? Busting up these meetings, beating the living Christ out of people. So that's why the media were there today. Now, one simple question. Why weren't the media all over an anti-war demonstration that brought in five times the number of people in Gina? I'm not trying to minimize Gina whatsoever. But you know why? Because media, corporate-owned media in this country, will stay away as far as they can from an anti-war march. And the only reason they cover a human rights march or a Latino rights march is because they're hoping against hope. Let's have some gore. Let's have some, and I don't mean Al, let's have some blood. Let's have some heads busted. Let's see people running and screaming. Let's see tear gas. Let's hear the guns go off. You evil bastards.
Burning and the local people turning on the merchants and the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops. And every other
a household item. Watch a mob just turn and bite them, and they say it serves them right, because a few of them were white. And it's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination. Yeah, and you can't understand me, and all that other jazz they hand me in the papers and TV, and all that mass stupidity.
In the aftermath of successful welfare reform, we must turn to the problems of the working poor. These problems seem immune to our affluence.
Twenty-five before the hour. You know, I've gotten a bunch of emails in the past couple of days regarding the story that I reported from five different sources, two newspapers, three television stations, that reported the deaths of six airmen who were involved in the transfer of the nuclear weapons from Minot, South Dakota, to where? Louisiana? And I Jesus, God, I love this business. I reported it just as it was sent to me, the story, and the tagline was, "Man, what an oddity." Now, since I did that story, I've gotten emails from people that say, "You know, you're crazy. Nobody ever said that the six Minot Air Force Base airmen." Who are now dead were involved in the handling of the nukes. And I've responded to a couple of these and I give up. I just give up. I say it again. What I reported is what I usually report. What other media outlets are saying. And then I either criticize it, agree with it, or let it stand. And that's exactly what I did about the story about the nukes. Now, some of you people are really just bat crap crazy. I don't know. Do you lay in the bushes waiting for me to say something so you can say, "Oh, Malloy said they're all dead"? No, Malloy didn't say they were all dead. What Malloy did say was that three television stations and two newspapers in the areas where these people turned up dead are reporting the story this way. And then I reported it the way the three television stations and two newspapers reported it, and added what the emailer had sent me. This is quite an oddity. But I'll be damned. Maybe I bashed Kerry too much the other night. Usually when I go after Kerry and just state the obvious, that he's a punk and a coward. You know, I just constantly get these emails. Well, he's just like the right wing sites. Well, he's not a Democrat. Well, oh, give it up, will you? Oh, my God. What do you people want? Do you always want a presidential candidate who, when he knows damn good and well the election was just stolen from him, he'll sit back on his ass and go, we're not going to stop until all the votes are counted in Ohio. Oops, never mind. We're stopping right now. Just kidding. Bye. Jesus, God. That's why the left is never able to get anything together, because it's made up of nutball cases. Did you hear what Malloy said? What I said? God. Now, the guy who asked Bush that last question, Marion Myrtle Beach, said it was the reporter was none other than the Washington Times, Bill Salmon, a water carrier for the Republicans. But actually, Mary, he's no longer with the Washington Times, according to Prairie 2, who wrote to me and said Bill Salmon, Washington Examiner, asked that question. He was formerly the White House reporter for the Washington Times, Mary, formerly. But for whatever reason, he doesn't work there anymore, I guess. Apparently, the Bush crime family wanted somebody, Prairie 2 writes, with slightly more credibility than Jeff Gannon. Now, the Washington Examiner, the newspaper that he writes for, And you got White House press credentials to represent the Examiner. It's a free tabloid distributed in the D.C. area. It used to be a local ad shopper until it was bought up by some right-wing freak about the time Jeff Gannon left the White House press corps. The new owner said he was taking it nationwide. They've had a hard time hanging on to staff, and I hadn't noticed it on the newsstand. That's according to Prairie 2. So, Mary, you were right up to a point, but apparently Mr. Salmon has moved on to greener pastures, you know, an ad shopper. Oh, my God, I hate these people. Truly, deeply, madly. Or, no, how does that go? Truly, madly, deeply. Deeply. All right, here's the last one, and then your phone calls. This is from Jen. I'm going to cut this a little bit short, Jen. Mike, I don't know where to begin tonight. I was going to call in, but there are just too many things going through my head. I think I drive you insane. First off, the president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, he wanted to go visit Ground Zero and was denied. I heard a right-wing scumbucket in my local area on the radio today saying, how dare Abajoki, yeah, that's what he called him, and I couldn't believe he called him that. Abajoki wants to dance on the hallowed ground of those who died because his fellow Muslim friends who died because of his fellow Muslim friends. In other words, this nutcase is linking Iran with 9/11, the right-wing marching orders. Funny how it was 15 Saudis, and if I remember correctly, wasn't Iran the only Middle Eastern country that held rallies in support of the U.S. after the bombing, and not for Al-Qaeda? But there they are now, the evil ones. And he added, the right-wing talk show host added, how dare the U.N. allow such a man to speak next week? Next, the Mandela comment. I'm still banging my head on that one. Had any other president said such a thing, the media would not have let it rest. How low corporate media has sunk. And finally, by condemning Move On today, the senators have basically said to hell with the First Amendment. After this shameless act today, I'm coming to the realization that our Bill of Rights and our basic rights are being taken away completely, never to be returned. We're in the beginning of a dictatorship here, and the sad part is that it could have been stopped so easily if they had taken a lesson from history. Jen. It is pretty astonishing. It's just pretty astonishing. All right, let's do some phone calls. I do want to mention, I guess I want to mention, Bush screaming at the Democrats over the child health bill. Oh, my God. And a couple of comments here from Russell Mokhiber that have shown up at commondreams.org, one of our favorite writers. But let's go to the phones right now. Susan is calling from Oakland Park, Florida, listening on WINZ.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Susan.
As long as you brought it up, I would be listening on WINZ if they hadn't preempted you for a baseball game, not for the first time.
Yeah, well,
in case anybody wants to know, they tied it up at the bottom of in the top of the ninth, so that could be a while yet before you're back on.
Well, that happens a lot. My program is on by my choosing, late at night, 9 to midnight here in the East, and that's just one of the risks. When I worked at WSB all those years, I used to get preempted by the Braves all the time. It just comes with the territory. I couldn't do this job in the daytime anymore. I've been working at night too long. But anyway,
and
okay.
And that's why after I called the station manager to complain, left a message on his voicemail, I called with something to comment on, and I've been listening since 9:08. I have got to stop eating dinner just before you come on.
Oh, no, no.
My stomach's doing flip-flops. My brain is ready to burst. My eardrums got wounded a couple of times there, listening on the phone. On January 29th, 2008, I am going to vote in our meaningless Florida primary for Dennis Kucinich, and he's the last Democrat I think I'm ever going to vote for.
You've really had it, huh?
I've had it. I guess that leaves me with independents and Greens and nut jobs. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But I do know that the Democrats, who will not take advantage of it, have been handed the ultimate nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
because late last night, too late to call in, I heard on CNN Radio News a one-line news item that said, unless Congress raises the debt ceiling by October 1st, that's, what, 10 to 11 days from now?
Uh-huh.
The United States will not be able to borrow any more money.
Okay.
Now, how is Cheney going to fund his war, his tax cuts, and everything else if he can't borrow the money?
Well, we're heading for a fiscal meltdown, and I think folks like you and I who keep up with the popular press are aware of it on a certain level, but I think the economists, the ones who refuse to talk about it because they're in an absolute panic right now, they know about it, and I think the various fund managers, but that's not really what I mean. Like the stock market, the bond market.
Right, I think, the brokers and the...
Yeah, those people understand where we're heading. I don't think they feel that it's going to be a head-on collision. These guys have to be optimistic, so maybe they're thinking something will happen at the last minute. But you're absolutely right, Susan. We're heading for an absolute disaster. And how Bush is going to pay for it, who knows?
Would you like to give me odds on whether the Democrats will stand their ground and not raise the debt ceiling?
Surely you jest. Of course they will.
Of course they will.
Of course they will.
All right. Have a great night. I'm sorry I'm going to miss you for about a half hour or so.
I hear you, Susan. Thanks for checking in. Take care. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Baby, get in. He didn't stop driving until he had to go to my bend. I took the back seat out.
It's about 10 before the hour. Eric writes, Mike, love your show, and what you say about the media makes sense as far as why they were there at the Gina 6 march, but comparing that to the pro-illegal marches? The media covered the pro-illegal marches because the media is, for the most part, pro-illegal. Because, for the most part, the American people are anti-illegal. And as a Democratic American who is Latino, I can't begin to describe how insulting it is for you to refer to those marches as pro-Latino, simply because so many illegal aliens are from Mexico. Latinos have already been set back far enough by illegals in the past 6 years, you can't even discuss illegal aliens without the word Latino coming up. Do you have to pile on, Mike? Apparently I've offended you, Eric. Latino means, I don't know what dictionary you use, but the dictionary I use, a person of Latin American or Spanish-speaking descent. And I would estimate that of the million people that marched a few months back, probably 98 or 99% of them meet that category. They're not Mexican. Latino does not mean Mexican. Latino means a person of Latin American or Spanish-speaking descent. As far as piling on, you obviously missed the point I was trying to make. Jesus Christ. God, what is there something I'm saying, Kathy, that when I criticize Kerry for standing there like a doofus, everybody says I'm anti-Kerry. When I talk about how the media covers the marches for the immigrant marches, then I'm being anti-Mexican because I use the term Latino. What the hell is wrong with people?
I think everyone's just a little bit sensitive. I only half listen to the show these days because I'm busy doing other things. But when I do hear your program, What I hear you doing is just stating the news factually. I watch the same YouTube video. I watch the tapes on the tasering, and I don't think it's being what's the opposite of disingenuous? I don't think it's being genuine and being honest for Kerry to claim that he just had no idea.
He had no idea what was going on. I had no idea.
And he's 20 feet away.
It sounds like Bush. I don't know anything about Mr. Hunt.
You
know nothing about Blackwater.
Now, that's not to say that Kerry had the guy tasered, we never claimed that, or that Kerry said, go taser that guy,
right.
Or that Kerry was responsible for the police being there in the first place, their campus police, yada yada. No one's blaming Kerry. All we said on the show, I'm sorry, all you said on the show, the part that I heard, because, you know, I'm doing my nails. But the part that I heard was that you just said, you know, Kerry claimed later, well, I wasn't quite sure what was... You know,
I read his statement. It was his statement.
And it's just not possible, looking at the video, for Kerry to say that he just, you know, he was clueless. He knew there was something happening, but he didn't know what.
Well, I had no idea that the term Latino only referred to Mexicans, which is what Eric wants me to believe. Eric, you need to go to your dictionary. Go to dictionary.com online. Just go to dictionary.com and type in Latino and see what comes up. And, you know, I said before, I stayed away from that entire story back when it occurred because I can understand the inherent racism in this country. I'm a white male in America. At the beginning of the 21st century, I came up when I was born. Black people couldn't until I graduated high school. Black people couldn't even get a drink at a water fountain in the South unless they went to one that said colored only. Don't ever lecture me about racial issues. Ever. You haven't earned that right, Eric. And as far as illegals, so-called, coming into this country, I know there's an argument to be made. But they are illegals because we destroyed their economy. For Christ's sake, wake up, people like Eric. If they had jobs in their own country that hadn't been devoured by American agribusinesses, they would stay home. So don't come after me with this half-witted, uninformed bat crap, okay? I don't care if we're talking about Kerry or about immigrant demonstrations in this country. You know, you got your opinion, I got mine. How dare some of the emails I get with this condescending, patronizing tone of some of the emails of people who don't have a clue as to what I'm really saying. They hear a word, Latino. Oh, he's talking about Latinos! Kerry, well, there he goes, bashing Democrats again. You're goddamn right I'll bash Democrats. When they don't act like Democrats, they get the Malloy hand across their figurative ass. And I have a suggestion for you. If that upsets you, I've lost a lot of listeners because a lot of so-called Democrats or liberals are not that. And they can't handle what is put out on this program. And they've left. And I say, good riddance. You know, I don't pander to any audience. If you're here for a program, bless your heart. If you hear something you don't like and say, screw Malloy, bless your heart. Adios. Bye-bye. Have a nice life. I couldn't care less. I am not paid because you tune in to listen. Or don't. Uh-uh. That's not the way it works. The people who halfway listen to this program, you know, so-called progressives or Democrats or liberals or whatever, and come up with these squirrely comments that they attribute. Well, Malloy said all six of the people who handled those nuclear weapons are dead. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us if you want to. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. You're listening to the Molloy program on Novem Radio. Russell Mochaber, whom we used to quote a lot on this program back in the day, and I don't know why we don't more. He is the editor of the Washington, D.C.-based Corporate Crime Reporter, among other things. He is also author of at least one, possibly more, books on corporate America. This kind of ties in because the Democrats, and I guess some Republicans, are in Iowa. The Democrats tonight, for sure, you just if you were listening to AP News on our network, the Democrats are out there, five or six of them, in a debate sponsored by AARP, American Association of Retired Persons. Listen to what Russell Mochaber says. Under the heading, AARP to Kucinich, drop dead. AARP President Bill Novelli is a company man. No, the company is not AARP. Novelli doesn't give a damn about AARP or its 38 million members. If he did, he wouldn't be selling them down the river by opposing a single-payer system that would benefit not just AARP members, but everyone in the country. Novelli doesn't give a damn about the health of the nation. What he cares about are the health of the insurance companies. Novelli, a founder of the giant Porter Novelli corporate public relations firm, jumped to AARP in 2000, but he never shed his corporate skin. Case in point, on Thursday night, tonight, AARP will host a debate in Iowa on the issue of health care. Republicans and Democrats running for president will attend. Of all the Republicans and Democrats in the race, guess who is the only one who would put the Novelli's buddies in the health insurance industry out of business? Guess who is the only candidate among the Democrats and Republicans who would create a Canadian-style, single-payer, everybody-in, nobody-out, no deductibles, no co-pays, no in-network, no out-of-network, streamlined system that would save billions of dollars in administrative cost, deliver a higher-quality health care system, and cover everyone? Yes, all of that. And guess who was not invited to confront Novelli's corporate brotherhood of profit and death? You guessed it. Congressman Dennis Kucinich. Why? Well, Kucinich would put out of business Novelli's corporate support system, including UnitedHealthcare and Aetna. Earlier this year, both those healthcare industry giants signed a contract with AARP that will net AARP a cool $4.5 billion over 7 years. Kucinich said that AARP sponsorship of the presidential forum tonight is, quote, like having Halliburton or Blackwater sponsor a presidential forum on doing away with no-bid government contracts to private contractors, or an oil company sponsoring a forum on reducing the world's dependence on oil. Kucinich went on to say, millions of trusting AARP members have bought Medicare supplemental and prescription drug insurance plans from AARP, believing they were getting a good deal. It turns out, however, Kucinich said, that AARP is taking a $4 billion cut by steering its members to profiteering private insurance companies trying to capitalize on fear and confusion. And then Kucinich added, the fact that Senators Clinton, Obama, and former Senator Edwards are pushing plans to keep the for-profit private insurers in business and in control may explain why they are willing to participate in this fake and tainted debate tonight. End quote. Kucinich also questioned the decision by Iowa Public Television to televise this forum and simulcast it to other PBS stations in other states. Kucinich said, profit-driven and politics-driven media conglomerates are controlling what we see on television and what we hear on radio. Public broadcasting should represent a higher, more ethical standard. In this case, public broadcasting will shamefully promote private interests, end quote. Mochaber closes by saying, okay, we're all getting old, but we don't have to all join AARP. If you're not a member yet, don't join. If you are a member, call Mr. Novelli and tell him to take a hike. then sign on with any presidential candidate who supports single payer. And, of course, that would be Dennis Kucinich. We've been here, haven't we, Kathy? Remember back in the run-up to the 2004 election? How many times did we have Kucinich on? Twice?
I'm sorry, were you talking?
Never mind. Go back to sleep. I understand. I understand. All I'm doing is busting Latinos and talking bad about Kerry. Let me see your nails. Oh, that's pretty good.
You think? Yeah. I mean, I thought I'd change the polish this weekend.
Yeah, that looks real good.
You're going out of town, so you don't care, right?
I don't care. I couldn't care less. All right, back to your phone calls. Oh, my God. Andy's been holding on for 2 hours, listening on Sirius, calling from Alaska. Andy, I'm sorry. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hey. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good, good. Wow, I'm just finally almost home. I've been waiting a while.
I know, I'm sorry.
That's cool. I had a long way to go. How
are you traveling? By aircraft, canoe, car, truck, what?
I'm a commercial fisherman, so I'm just coming in from the ground.
Oh, my God, you're in a boat.
Yeah, I'm in a boat.
Well, yeah. Was it a good day?
It was a pretty good day. It was the last day of the salmon season.
What do you?
I guess it was worth it.
What were you? What are you catching? What is your?
I'm after coho salmon, silvers, what they're called. We were fishing for king salmon earlier in the year.
Uh huh.
So the thing was still going, and I just figured I'd go out and be hardcore, do the last day.
Sure. How's your business been this year?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Good.
The price is good, and there was a bunch of fish, so it was pretty good, yeah.
Hey, I'm one of your biggest customers, pal. If there's any fish that I love, it's coho salmon and what's the other one?
King salmon.
King salmon. I love them. I love them.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah, it's the best.
All right, that's not...
An omega-3.
Yes, sir. That's not why you called, though.
No, I mean, you know, I listened to some of your callers and everything you had to say. It's kind of like that one person who called. It's like, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm right there with you. I get the impression, I guess the bottom line I think about everything that's going on is, I get the impression that the way the Bush administration acts, that they really believe the end of the world is coming pretty soon. And I got to assume that I don't believe there are Armageddon people who like really believe in Christ coming back or any of that crap. I think they're too sinister for all that. I got to assume they must feel that, seeing as they're big oil people, they must feel that we're running out and running out pretty soon. So I mean, this whole thing in Iraq, and now we're, you know, next step Iran, Syria. Bankrupt the economy, everything doesn't make, none of it makes sense unless you think in terms of, gee, these guys must know something that we don't.
Or not necessarily know something, Andy, but believe something. I tend to think it's a combination. I do believe these people are the so-called dominionists who honestly believe that they are, you know, Bush said to one of the Palestinian Authority people that God told him to invade Afghanistan and God told him to invade Iraq. I mean, that's insanity, isn't it?
It is, but George Bush says a lot of stuff.
Hey, can you hold on a second, Andy?
Yeah, sure.
All right, hold on. Let me put you back on hold because you really held on for a long time. We'll finish up right after the break. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy. We know it, and I feel fine.
Yeah.
22 past the hour. All right, we're talking with Andy, who is on a commercial fishing boat returning home in Alaska, listening on Sirius. All right, where were we, Andy?
Where were we? Oh, you were mentioning something Bush said to Palestinians, I guess, about how God thought he was.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that what motivates so many of the people now running our government, the ones that are visibly insane and the ones who are behind the scenes and chewing the scenery and are insane, is this fundamentalist belief that is shared by people like Osama bin Laden. Same God, different prophets, but you know, they somehow believe that their way is the only way, and everybody else has got to die in order for their way to prevail. So I think a lot of people determining American foreign policy are religious nuts.
Well, I think so too, but I get the impression that, yeah, I guess they are. I don't know about Dick, though.
Well, I don't know about, I think Dick
I don't
Cheney,
know about Dick, and he seems like the main guy.
Well,
Dick was CEO of Halliburton, big oil concern company. And I read somewhere a statement he made as CEO to his board members of Halliburton about how basically there was going to be this major. It was just a matter of fact statement that by somewhere around now or the next year or two, the world would be experiencing shortfalls in the oil supply. In other words, not that we'd be out of it, but there just wouldn't be quite enough to keep the show, mm-hmm. the world show going as we know it, this industrial age as we know it. Mm-hmm. So I get the impression reading that and some other things that, you know, whatever with George thinks and the other right-wing nutbags who they've got surrounding them, at least Dick and some of his people are under the belief that we're coming up on some chaotic times. We can't keep fueling the show as we know it. We can't keep the agricultural base up, and therefore we're not going to be able to feed everybody like we have been. And
well, I think basically, I
don't know if that's going to happen, but I get the impression that that's what they think, and that's why they're doing the things that they're doing.
Yeah, I think with Cheney and his cabal of vampires, these are self-fulfilling prophecies. People like Cheney stand to win if all of a sudden the supply of natural resources starts to deplete, because that drives the price up even higher. These guys and their policies promote shortages and disasters and trouble. You don't hear Cheney ever, if he's so concerned about oil disappearing as a resource, as an energy resource, you never hear him talking about alternative sources of energy, of which we have many, many choices. And if governments and private researchers would just bust their asses to make it happen, it would happen. But, you know, why bother? You know, all these dinosaurs died and all this primeval foliage went underground millions of years ago, and now we have these nice pools of oil. Hell, just tap into the oil. Strangling the planet, killing salmon, who cares?
What does Dick care? Dick doesn't care. He's going to die soon anyway. You know, the whole world being chaos. We'll all be, like, killing each other for the last scrap of whatever resource we need to keep ourselves warm and fed. And, you know, he'll be dead and, you know, it'll be over for him, you know. But in the meantime, it seems like he's quite concerned with staying on top and within the paradigm that he thinks in, you know, world power and being completely wealthy and whatnot.
Right. Hey, listen, Andy, I'm glad you called. I hope you call again. We've talked before, haven't we? You've called this program before.
I called the other day, but the guy who answered said my engine was too loud. So
Well, maybe I'm thinking about, I think I have one or two other callers somewhere in Alaska. You know, I have no idea, but I'm glad you called.
Hey.
And I hope you call again. Take it easy, because I understand you, your business is the most dangerous, or at least in the top two or three dangerous jobs available to Americans. So take it easy, okay?
All right, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Have a good night.
Absolutely. You too. Take care. His boat was too loud? The engine was too... Is that what Ian said? Your engine's too loud. Well, that's good. Ian knows. That's why he's the engineer. But I'm damn glad that Andy called back. I got a call one time from a guy working an oil rig off the, way off the coast of Louisiana, about 200 miles out, I think, which impressed me. He was listening. He was getting a AM. This is when I was on WSB, Kathy. He was just getting an AM signal skip, a bounce, across the Gulf of Mexico. It was amazing. And now Andy calling, listening on Sirius. That impresses me that people can hear this program while they're working a salmon fishing boat in Alaska. Well, I guess I've always been easily impressed, right?
Did you say something about salmon?
Never mind. Go back to your nails. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
I could have died if I wanted to, slipped over the edge and drowned. But oh no, baby, I won't give up that easy, no. Too many tire tracks in the sands of time. Too many love affairs that stop on a dime. Well, oh, baby.
Get your rage on. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. What's he saying? From Kathy in Green Bay, subject line, Kucinich isn't the only one. Kathy writes, when Hartman interviewed John Edwards, Edwards told him that under his plan, people would have a choice, one of which would be to opt into Medicare. Hartman then asked him if he didn't think that most people would do that because it would be the least expensive. Edwards replied that that was the point. That he didn't think that anyone could get to the point of single-payer health care by simply saying Medicare for all, as Kucinich did, and that he thought that we could get to the same place using his plan. Hartman mentioned this again today, and I can support that. I've supported Kucinich in the past. He's terrific, and I think that Edwards has a better chance of winning. Honestly, until Hartman explained it, I didn't think much of Edwards' plan either. Hartman's good at explaining things. I just scream and belch and yell and okay. The only thing I've been able to gather, and I probably should have listened to Hartman's program, is that the only person truly, truly, truly talking about single payer is Kucinich. According to what Kathy wrote here, Edwards does have a plan that looks like it's a step-by-step process to convert medical health care coverage in this country into single payer, maybe under a different name. The part I don't understand, and I haven't been able to understand this for a very, very long time, and that is why there's any resistance to this by the American public. I can understand why the healthcare military or the healthcare industrial the healthcare industry. The healthcare industrial complex, I guess I should go ahead and say, I can understand their resistance. And the politicians who operate with their money, not the least of whom this time is Hillary Clinton. I'm sorry, Bart Kopp. I've tried. I've honestly tried, but I can't do it. Hillary Clinton, who operates with their money, I just don't understand why there's resistance to it. I understand the resistance from the industry and from certain politicians and from the lies and distortions, but for people like me and you and my kids, I don't get it. This is from Bridget. I got a couple emails here I want to do, and then back to your phone calls. Bridget writes, hi, Mike, if someone from MoveOn is listening, I would like them to know the following. My husband and I choose a group of candidates to contribute what little we can every month. This month, and for many future months, it will be MoveOn. not any individual candidates, because MoveOn has consistently had the courage to tell the truth. My reaction when I heard first idiots' responses and when I discovered the pompous bloviators that call themselves Republicans had introduced a resolution was to say, yeah, someone is actually irritating the sons of bitches. I hope MoveOn gets more donations from this wonderful publicity than they ever have, and I encourage anyone who can find even $10 to contribute it to MoveOn as a statement of support. For any legislators or staff who are listening, pay attention. Our money goes to those who have the courage and spine to stand up and tell the truth. If you want money, you might consider trying that approach. I am so sick and tired, Bridget writes, of the so-called gentlemen of the Senate, of the so-called honorable so-and-so. These effing Republicans are not honorable and haven't been in years. They lie, and they lie, and then they lie some more, and they don't give a damn if their lies are destroying the country or the Constitution the country is grounded in. Mike, I'm trying hard to stay out of despair, but it creeps up on me every day as I watch those in power continue to make political choices instead of principled choices. Harry Reid is a coward for even letting that damned resolution come to the floor. When will we have leaders with principles? If things keep going the way they are, the answer is never. God, I hate these people. Bridget. Yeah, that raises the issue, sure. I don't know how the Senate works. All I know is that the Republicans always get exactly what they want. Whether they're majority, minority, sideways, upside down, inside out, crazed, sucking their thumbs, you know, whatever. They always seem to get what they want. And the Democrats always seem willing to roll over one more time, again and again and again, to give the Republicans anything they want. How in the hell did that resolution make it to the Senate floor? I have no idea. I don't know how the procedure works. But it seems to me, as Bridget points out, that Harry Reid, being the Senate Majority Leader, could have stopped it. Can you imagine, pick a Senate Majority Leader, any Democrat in the past, who confronted with a bunch of cowardly chicken hawk Republicans who keep doing this over and over again. Can you imagine one of those past Democratic Senate leaders allowing some pissy a vote like this, condemning MoveOn, condemning an organization of 3.5 million people because they speak out? Petraeus is a liar. He is in a position he has no business being in. Since when is a military commander supposed to stand up and issue political statements on behalf of the cowardly son of a bitch in the White House? When did that happen? When did that happen? I'll tell you when it happened. When the Supreme Court gave this half-wit the presidency. That's when it happened. Sit down and shut up, Petraeus. Why don't you and Ollie North form some kind of a company that sells electric fences? Get the hell out of the military. You don't belong there. He doesn't. Now, there's a report going around that Petraeus is wearing a medal on his uniform that he doesn't deserve. Now, the last time this happened, I remember somebody being cashiered out of the military, somebody that was of flag rank, who had to leave. We'll try to get to this tomorrow, but the medal in question is a Bronze Star with Valor device. It's the fourth highest award we have for combat valor. The Valor device specifies combat valor makes it an entirely different medal from the Bronze Star for meritorious conduct. Oh, hell, I'll just finish this. With the 101st Airborne, Petraeus received it as a Major General in 2003-2004. It was his first combat ever. To get the Valor Medal, Petraeus had to be under enemy fire. He is described to have been under enemy fire in the Battle of Najaf. The only incident of enemy fire reported near General Petraeus was on March 30th. The descriptions of that event by the two separate journalists match perfectly. One mortar round hit between 40 and 50 meters away from Generals Petraeus and Wallace as they read a map on the hood of a Humvee. They acted nonchalant. The event is described in an article penned by Greg Zaroya and Steve Camero. It describes one mortar round hitting at the above distance. Camera was embedded with V Corps, General Wallace's command. Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Rick Atkinson was so close, he dove between two trucks when the round hit. He stood up quickly and got back to reporting. We must all now depend on Atkinson to stick by his reporting as the Swift boat is thrown into hard reverse. Well, we said the other night, the only time the Petraeus, didn't Petraeus suffer some kind of a wound when somebody's gun discharged stateside? Or I have no idea. He's a liar. He's a coward. He's a fraud. He's a fake. He may not be as insane as Oliver North, Sean Hannity's lover, but he's insane. But we're all supposed to sit there and go, oh, yeah, okay. Back to your phone calls. Kevin has also been holding on forever. Calling from Washington, D.C., listening on the Internet. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Don't ever be surprised who the Bushes appoint to do their bidding. It's always the most dysfunctional people ever. You know, you have Clarence Thomas, a black man who doesn't like black people. And you have the cowardly lion betrayer. So don't ever be surprised. But what I wanted to address was why the Democrats, you know, like the 10 or so went the way along with the Republicans.
Right, 21 of them.
21 of them. It's because a lot of those Democrats have a huge amount of interest in the military-industrial complex.
Right, right.
And
not to mention any names, but her initials are Dianne Feinstein.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and that's who's buttering a lot of these politicians' bread, is the military-industrial complex.
It's our biggest industry. It's what we do the best.
We sell death, so that's mainly contributing to killing off black and brown people.
And not a few whites, too, when you get right down to it.
Usually it's the whites that are trying to do the killing who end up getting killed, you know.
Well, that's true, too.
It amazes me, you know. I've been traveling, you know, in the Midwest for the past month or so. And, you know, I consciously said I will not take any job that involves me doing any business with any defense contractor.
That's a principled stand, and I like it. Kevin, I have to leave it there. I am sorry to cut you off, pal. We got a break. Next time you call in, I'll get you on quickly. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Ten before the hour. Thanks to Ian, Billy, Chris, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay. That was quick, right? The usual gang. One last email. I'd like to share these emails with you because we really get fantastic emails at this program. I don't know. So not that we're trying to give short shrift to the callers. This is from Eric. Subject line regarding bad Malloy. Hi, Mike. The truth is there never really has been much of a left in the United States. Probably the closest thing to a left was the progressives during the late 19th century. Even Bernie Sanders, who would be a moderate in any European parliament, has to call himself an independent and caucus with the Democrats because the socialist brand is simply not permitted in this country. As far as bashing Democrats is concerned, let's face it, it's one thing for Democrats to fail to promote economic democracy in relation to things like health care and education. But my God, can't the Democrats even stand up against the fascist agenda of the Republican right? During the second half of the 20th century, the U.S. was the world's factory. It isn't surprising that the average American was able to flourish during this period when the rest of the world was dependent on our factories, even if we did steal their natural resources to feed and fuel our factories. The world has caught up in terms of factories. During this new century, the U.S. is more than anything else the world's military. or perhaps we should say usable military, since Russia can still match us nuke for nuke. But this raises all sorts of issues too lengthy to discuss here. So, we export war. It's all we have left to export. Fascists need war to legitimize their domestic policy. And maybe wars need fascists to legitimize preemptive war. Why do they hate us? Maybe this is why they hate us. Take a cruise, Eric. Well, we're going to in the, second week, Kathy, of October? Back to your phone calls. Who do we have here? Phil, calling from San Diego, listening on KLSD. Hey, Phil.
Hey, good evening, Mike. Bless you, Michael Malloy.
Yeah, right.
go and
sin no more. Yeah.
Kevin was just on the verge of carrying on what I was going to mention, because I heard it today, that kind of like says it all, what the Democrats basically cashed in their chips with the military-industrial complex.
Oh my God, did they ever.
Yeah, what I heard was that previous to 2006, they were received only $5 million. But after 2006, $48 million from the military-industrial complex.
What,
they beat the Republicans by one. 48 to 47.
You're talking about
money.
Contributions
from the contractors. Yeah. From, Boeing and all those other war greedy people. The other thing, Andy, man, he might have been on the mark with in regards to, Darth Vader, figuring that his time is, he wants everybody else to go before him, maybe. So insane. It's like I heard a really cool thing today about, Shrub always talking about he has his mandate. Well, this is on the mark. He goes, the last mandate he had was Jeff Gannon. It was pretty good. And I'll close with
That there's anything wrong with that.
Oh, no. I mean, no, it's just, it's to me what he said about move on. He calls that disgusting. Everything he's done is disgusting.
Word.
Everything he hasn't done.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a great evening, Mike, and thanks for being there.
Well, thanks for calling. Take care, Phil. We got any time left? Very quickly, Hal is calling from Franksville, Wisconsin. Listening on the mic. Hey, Hal.
Yeah, it's actually, Hal had to go to work, but he's listening. I'm his brother. That's all right, Phil. I've seen you in the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater. I talked to you for a little bit. I had to stick up for a college Republican.
Sorry to say.
Yeah, I had to stick up for him because he meant well, but with no independent media basically across this country, which, most of the program was about tonight, considering, the way people look at the United States. How else are they going to look at it since they have no information? As Jefferson said, you can't have a working democracy without...
Hal, I remember there was two guys and a gal who sat there at the university when I gave that talk and answered questions and yada yada. And everything they said was just half-witted and asinine, and I told them it was half-witted and asinine, if you remember. So I appreciate the fact that you stood up for them, but... they have as much access to the truth as you do.
Oh, yeah, but they had parents that are probably, sort of vegetables. I mean, you have to have a little step here. I mean, there's no civics classes at all in high school. That's a joke. History, that's not even there. Deceptive history, but as far as history, so nothing really makes sense, And you listen, if they listen to, like what I said at the university, I call into public radio and stuff like that. And public radio goes, our media is out here. Most of the people that I work with would think that's Chinese. They don't have a clue what you're talking about. If they listen to your show, they think they're on Mars. They think, what is this? What are they talking? A senator? It's a Senate? What's a senator? Is that a hat? This is a joke. I know there's little time left and stuff like that, but...
Well, you're making excellent points. Hal, I've got to leave it there. I'm sorry, man. Call in tomorrow. I'll get you on earlier. And I apologize to everybody that held on just like forever. And then I come on and say, oh, well, your time's up after 2 minutes. I know that's a pain in the nether regions. We'll make good on it, I promise. I'll see you tomorrow night. All right, take care. Thanks for hanging out tonight. I do appreciate it. Take care, okay? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.